Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think maybe the rain, all that rain last night, maybe put a little damper on everyone's spirits. But we just praise the Lord that we have victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Karen, I so much appreciate those songs that you shared with us this morning. They just spoke to my spirit. Victory in Jesus. Our God is an awesome God.
Yes. Amen.
We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. We need to constantly remind ourselves of who we are in Christ.
Exactly right.
That we're the head, not the tail. Well, if you're following along in your own Bibles today I'll be speaking from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and I'd like to open with verse 15. And today I'll be reading from the New King James Version. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, because the battle is not yours, but God's."
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll use this message to remind us all of the importance of keeping our eyes upon you, seeking your face and your wisdom when we're confronted by the armies of the enemy.
Thank you.
Help us to remember and to believe that the battle is not ours but yours, and that all we have to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord in our lives.
Amen.
Teach us how to praise you in times of trouble and in times of victory. Use me as your vessel to proclaim your word and to speak life into the hearts of your people.
Thank you.
And I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've entitled today's message, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." And we're going to look at an event that took place almost 3,000 years ago during the reign of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. But how many of you know that God's word is timeless, and God's word shall stand forever, and the lessons to be learned from this event are just as applicable to us today as they were then?
Yes.
And if you're wondering what we can possibly learn from an old king who lived hundreds of years before Jesus, then I would remind you that God has made you and me to be kings and priests before him.
Amen.
We are a royal priesthood. We are the children of the King of Kings. We are the heirs of salvation. And when we read about the kings and queens of the nations of Israel and Judah in the Old Testament, we discover that their successes and their failures often mirror our own.
That's right.
God gave us their stories to be examples for us so that we can imitate them where they did things right, and we can also avoid their sins and mistakes when they did things wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right.
So now I'd like to go back up to the top of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and start reading in verse 1. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 1. "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. They are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.'" Now let's stop there for just a moment. Jehoshaphat had a problem. The enemy was coming to attack him. And not just one enemy army, at least three enemy armies had combined forces and gathered together against him. You might say that the enemy was ganging up on King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. There's an old saying, when it rains, it pours. You've heard that? In your own personal life, do you ever feel like the enemy is attacking you from several directions at once? It's not just an attack on your finances. It's not just an attack on your job. It's not just an attack on your marriage. It's not just an attack on your children or your parents. It's not just an attack on your health. It seems like the attacks are coming from every direction at the same time. Well, if it seems that way, it's probably because it is that way.
That's right.
The devil doesn't fight fair.
No.
And don't expect the devil to fight fair.
No.
He and his servants, both in the spirit and in the flesh, will try to gang up on you, will try to knock you down, and then kick you while you're down.
Yeah.
But let's continue in verse 3 to see what King Jehoshaphat did when the enemy ganged up on him. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. When Jehoshaphat heard about this impending attack, his first reaction was that he was afraid. Now, there's nothing wrong with being afraid. Being afraid is what motivates us to run to God.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
So it's okay to be afraid, but you don't have to stay afraid.
That's right.
God doesn't want us living and walking in fear. He wants us to respond to fear by running to Him.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
When Jehoshaphat became afraid, he could have reacted in several different ways. He could have given up in despair and surrendered to the enemy. Or he could have tried in vain to defeat the enemy with his own army by his own might and power. But Jehoshaphat's actual response was to take his problems to the Lord. That phrase, he set himself, literally means he set his face to seek the Lord. Have you ever seen someone with a determined look on their face? And you look at them and you think, that person is determined. That person is serious. That person means business. That's how Jehoshaphat looked. He was determined to seek the Lord. No one was going to talk him out of it, and he meant business. So Jehoshaphat's fear motivated him to seek God's face and to proclaim a fast. And I want you to notice that the scripture doesn't say that Jehoshaphat went off somewhere to pray and fast by himself. That's personal prayer and fasting, and there's certainly a time and a place for that. And I hope that we all have a spiritual, healthy life of personal prayer and fasting. And I want you to know that I'm preaching to myself here.
Amen.
But King Jehoshaphat recognized that the problems he faced were bigger than just one person. They were so big that he decided to bring together the whole nation, the whole body, to help him address the problem. Jehoshaphat understood that there is power in corporate prayer. There is power in coming together to pray and fast as a body to seek God's face in solving a really big problem. Here at Turning Point Church, we do this on a regular basis every Wednesday morning by coming together as a body to pray for specific needs. Mm-hmm. And I think that there have been a few times over the years where we have called special prayer meetings for special needs because, again, there is power in the prayer of agreement between a group of believers.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, someone might say, well, God already knows what I need, so why do I need to pray about it? Yes, God does know what you need before you even ask, but he still wants you to ask.
That's right.
In fact, Scripture tells us that we have not because what?
We ask not.
We ask not. God delights in hearing from his children, and he loves it when we acknowledge that we need him and we lay our burdens down at his feet. But Scripture makes it clear that God wants us to do more than just dash off a quick, flippant, one-time prayer. Oh God, solve all my problems while I sit here watching TV. God wants us to get serious with him. He wants us to be persistent. He wants us to mean business. Now, we might not have to sweat great drops of blood like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, but that is the type of earnest, serious prayer that God is looking for. Sometimes, believe it or not, we might have to pray more than once for something before we get an answer. And sometimes, oh horrors, we might even have to fast before we get an answer. But God wants us to understand this very important spiritual principle, that persistent prayer, when combined with fasting and the faith of other believers, can break any spiritual stronghold and can defeat any spiritual attack.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Let's continue with verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Verse 10. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Amen.
Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Jehoshaphat had called the world's largest prayer meeting. The whole land of Judah was uniting and pulling together to seek the Lord. And it wasn't just the men either. The men brought their wives, their children, their babies, their entire families. Everyone joined together and stood before the Lord with one heart and one purpose. They didn't know what to do, but they knew who to go to.
Amen. Amen.
You husbands, there's no shame in telling your wives, honey, I don't know what to do. The problem that we're having is beyond my power to fix. We have to take this to the Lord together and let him fix it. And for those of you who are parents, there's no shame in letting your children see that you don't always have the answers. Let them see that you depend and rely on God for salvation and deliverance. Let them see the testimony in your lives when God does bring that deliverance and that victory.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, we're living in the end times, and the devil is stepping up his efforts to attack us and defeat us both individually and as a church.
Yes.
Right. The Scripture says that he is in a rage because he knows that his time is short.
Amen. Uh-huh.
So it's more important than ever for us to assemble and gather as a body of like-minded believers, united in faith, united in hope, united in love, and united in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when the attack comes, when the enemy comes and afflicts us and tries to rob us of the possession and inheritance that God has granted us, we can pull together like the people of Judah with singleness of heart and purpose, and we can combine our faith and our prayers and bring our needs to God. We may not know what to do, but we will know who to go to.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Let's continue into verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's."
Amen. Amen.
Verse 16. "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Amen. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you."
Amen.
Now I want you to visualize this. Here's the whole nation of Judah, men, women, children, babies, a huge crowd seeking the Lord and desperately in need of salvation and victory in their lives. And standing at the front of the crowd is King Jehoshaphat. The crowd was probably waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to fall on Jehoshaphat so that he could give them guidance and leadership and tell them what to do. But you know what? Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. And the Spirit of the Lord didn't fall on him as we might expect. The Spirit chose to fall on someone else, a man in the midst of the crowd named Jehaziel. I'm an engineer by trade, and in my world we have a saying, you don't always have to be the smartest person in the room. Sometimes other people have good ideas too. And I've learned over the years that part of my job as a team leader is to listen to the people on my team, because sometimes they have really good ideas in situations where I have no idea what to do.
Amen.
But it requires humility on my part to listen to those people and accept their counsel. When someone brings an idea to me, I could become proud and stubborn and say, "Hey, I'm the boss. I'm the smart one. I'm the one with the answers. You don't get to tell me what to do. I'm the one who tells you what to do." And in the passage that we just read, Jehoshaphat has a similar choice to make. Is he going to be the proud and stubborn king who says, "Hey, I'm the king, I'm the smart one, I'm the one that's going to decide how we're going to defeat the enemy"? Or is he going to be the humble and teachable king, willing to humble himself in front of the whole nation of Judah, his subjects, and listen to the word of the Lord that's coming from an obscure man in the middle of a crowd of people? There's an important principle here, and I don't want you to miss it. When you are being attacked by the enemy and you don't know what to do, God will often use other people to try to bring you wisdom and guidance and direction, just as he used Jehaziel to give guidance and direction to King Jehoshaphat.
Amen.
That's why God set you in this body of believers.
Amen.
When you're being attacked by the enemy, it's important, it's critical, not to isolate yourself from the body of Christ. Don't try to go it alone. Surround yourself with godly people who love you and care about you, godly people who can give you godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14 tells us that there's safety in the multitude of counselors.
That's right.
After the Lord spoke through Jehaziel to Jehoshaphat in the hearing of all the people, Jehoshaphat has a choice to make. He could either ignore the word that Jehaziel gave, or he could humble himself and accept it and act on it. Let's continue in verse 18 to see what Jehoshaphat actually did. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Amen. Jehoshaphat understood that this battle wasn't going to be won by man's tactics and man's plans and man's strength. This battle was going to be won by believing in the Lord and by praising him. Faith and praise are mighty weapons that tear down strongholds and bring salvation and victory. In the book of Acts, the Philippian jailer was at the end of his rope and ready to kill himself, but in desperation, he asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas gave him the gospel message in one sentence: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household."
Hallelujah.
Usually, we think of being saved as avoiding hell and going to heaven. But that, and that is certainly one aspect of salvation, and I'm not taking anything away from that. But the Lord wants us to know that for the Christian believer, salvation is a daily occurrence.
Amen.
Jesus saves us every day in big ways and in small ways, and he's here to save you in whatever situation
Amen.
You're in.
Amen.
Every day and in every situation, he's saying to you, "Believe on me and you will be saved, you and your household."
Yes.
Are you struggling financially? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, yes. you and your household.
Yes. Yes.
Are you struggling in your marriage? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Are you struggling in your job? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household.
Glory to God.
Are you having struggles with regards to your children or your parents?
Glory.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved,
Glory.
You and your household.
Yes, Amen. Glory, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
And while we're walking in faith, we mustn't forget to praise. When Jehoshaphat went forth to face the enemy, he appointed a choir of people to go out in front of the army, people who sang and praised and worshiped the Lord. These praise warriors boldly went toward the enemy's camp, singing and praising the Lord at the top of their voices. Psalm 22, verse 3 tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. There is power in praise, and no matter how dark and hopeless the situation might seem, when we start praising God, he shows up in power and might.
Amen.
Oh, saints, when you don't know what else to do, start praising the Lord. Praise drives back the darkness. Praise drives away fear. Praise puts the enemy to flight. Praise even causes the enemy to destroy himself.
Amen.
Jehoshaphat didn't need his army. God's power was unleashed through the praises of his people.
Hallelujah.
There is power in praise.
Amen.
That's it.
Lord.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come up against Judah. And they were defeated. For the people, this is important, verse 23. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked out toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped.
Praise the Lord. Praise you, God.
The enemy had expected the people of Judah to come begging on their knees, weeping and wailing and pleading for their lives. Singing and shouts of praise were probably the last thing that the enemy expected to hear. But when the enemy saw the people of Judah coming toward them, singing and praising and worshiping the Lord at the top of their lungs, they were so filled with confusion and fear and panic that they turned on each other and began fighting amongst themselves, and they destroyed themselves.
Wow, God.
Brothers and sisters, when you go forth and face the enemy in boldness and confidence, when you claim your inheritance as a child of God and walk in the authority that He has given you, when you sing and praise and worship, even in the midst of the enemy camp, you will discover that you don't have to do anything.
Amen.
All you have to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and watch the enemy destroy himself. And you can rejoice as the apostles rejoiced when they returned to Jesus and said,
Amen.
Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the 4th day they assembled in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berachah until this day. The Hebrew word Berachah means blessing. What the enemy had meant for evil, God meant for good.
Amen.
The valley of the shadow of death had now been transformed by the miracle working power of God into a valley of blessing. The enemy thought he was going to have an easy victory, but when King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah allowed God to fight the battle for them, God's power was released, the enemy was defeated, and the people came out of that place with so many blessings that they couldn't carry them all.
Thank you, God.
Brothers and sisters, God is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is the one who restores the years that the locusts have eaten. God is the one who opens the windows of heaven and pours out such blessing that there isn't room enough to receive it. God is the one who blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, do you get the idea that God wants to bless you?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
But those blessings can only come when you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and you take your hands off the wheel and you allow Him to fight the battles and defeat the enemy for you.
Amen.
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 Oh, thank you.
Verse 27. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
When King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah went out to face the enemy, they went out with praise on their lips. And after the enemy was defeated, they came back with praise on their lips.
Amen.
They praised God going out, and they praised God coming back. Brothers and sisters, when God delivers you from whatever situation you're in, don't forget to praise Him after He delivers you, just as you did before He delivered you.
Amen.
Scripture talks about 10 lepers who were healed of their leprosy by Jesus, but only one of them returned to thank Jesus for what He had done. Don't be like the other 9 lepers. You be sure to praise God in the time of blessing just as you did in the time of need.
Amen.
And when you do that, when you praise God continually in good times and bad, you will discover that God will give you rest and He will give you peace all around, just as He did Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah.
Thank you, Lord.
And the enemy will not come back to bother you anymore.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you would, please stand with me. Before I turn the service back over to Brother Jerry, I've asked Karen to come forward and lead us in a song. And as she comes, I want to remind you that when the enemy ganged up on King Jehoshaphat, he was afraid, but he didn't stay afraid. His fear motivated him to seek God because he knew he couldn't defeat the enemy on his own. He needed God. He didn't know what to do, but he knew where to go.
That's it. Yep.
You may be in a similar situation today. You're being attacked by the enemy and you don't know what to do. It seems like the enemy is ganging up on you and attacking you from several different directions at once, and the fear and worry and stress is threatening to overwhelm you. You may not know what to do, but that's okay. The battle is not yours, but God's. Stop trying to fight the battle in your own strength. Stop relying on your own plans and schemes and ideas. When you trust God for your deliverance, and when you worship and praise Him even in the face of the enemy, you give Him the freedom to intercede on your behalf, and He will show up in power and might and defeat the enemy for you. All you have to do is to stand still and praise Him and see the salvation of the Lord. Praise Him in the midst of the battle, and praise Him when the battle is over. That valley of darkness that you're in right now will become a valley of blessing. And the Lord will restore to you everything you've lost and more. Now I'd like us all to lift up our voices together and praise God with this song as Karen leads us, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord."
Amen. Amen.
Heaven, the armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory. In like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard of power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength. Presses it hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor. Power and strength to the Lord. We sing.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Heavenly Father, we have come to you today as a body, united in faith and in hope and in the common bond of the Holy Spirit. Give us the faith and the trust that we need to let you fight the battles for us, so that all we need to do is to stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. And we look forward, Lord, to the testimonies and good reports of what you're going to do in our lives. As we go forth from this place, help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. Help us to praise you in the darkness and praise you in the light.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Be with us all in this upcoming week until we come together in your house again.
Yes.
And it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray, the name above all names. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. That was good stuff.
Good stuff.
You know, the church is God's idea. And part of it is this unity that is coming together to stand before whatever comes our way. And it is such a lesson to learn that you're not alone anymore.
Praise God.
Jesus brought you into a family. And that family cares about you so deeply. And we need to fight that enemy together, not separately.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let God just take over as we come and worship Him. Do what we're supposed to do. Amen. What a lesson. What a lesson to learn and to follow in life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you all. I love you. See you next week.